you know, the explanation I gave earlier for not deciding was that I was not sure of my schedule and wanted to look into the situation in several other states. We concluded on three grounds, really, that the time had come to announce that I would go into the state of New Hampshire, that they'd more or less cleared up the rulings with reference to the way in which the primary law might be applied, which meant that at least it appeared to me as though we'd have the kind of confrontation on the basic issues that we'd hoped to have in the state of New Hampshire. Secondly, I've been able to clear up my own schedule for the month of February, which would be the critical month for campaigning in New Hampshire. And thirdly, reports we got from the people who were interested in my candidacy in New Hampshire were on the positive side, which led us to conclude that we could get the case to the people in New Hampshire so that they'd make a reasonably objective and fair judgment on what we had to present. So for those three reasons, principally, and also because it was important to the people in New Hampshire that we give them the word very soon, decided to have them announce it yesterday and we'll proceed to, with the organization, and go on from that to the campaign when the time comes. Anyone have any questions? Yes.
Senator, out in Chicago a month or so ago, David Ho, who's interested in the candidacy in New Hampshire, suggested that you might get about 30% of the Democratic primary vote there. Is that your estimate now?
I don't really know. I don't have any better estimate than that. I haven't taken any polls and don't intend to take any for some time, at least. I think Senator McIntyre and some of the people who are supporting the president or representing the president have set it much lower than that. But I have no. I expect it to be a very tough campaign in New Hampshire if the reports we have or if what the newspapers have been saying are reasonably accurate. Why, it's a long, hard way.
Senator, do you plan to go into New Jersey now? Or are you?
I haven't made any decision about New Jersey. We haven't been talking to people from New Jersey for the last 2 or 3 weeks, so it's just about where it was.
Is it still possible?
Well, I suppose it's possible, but I just have nothing to report on it. Well, we've really moved, I think, with some success in three states. New Hampshire has an organization pretty much ready to go. Massachusetts is, I think, perhaps best organized. And we have an organization in Wisconsin. And because the primary in California isn't until June, we haven't pressed very hard to nail that one down, but the potential for an organization in California is very clear. We've not done very much in Oregon or in Nebraska at this time.
Senator, does your New Hampshire decision rule out any trips abroad now?
Well, not necessarily, but I think it would eliminate any kind of extensive or prolonged trip abroad.
Senator, there are reports that North Vietnam is angling for. There are reports that North Vietnam is angling for peace talks. If peace talks began during the primaries, how would it affect your campaign? Would you bow out?
Well, I don't think I'd bow out. I suppose it would have some effect on the campaign, but I expect that that would depend upon the nature of the talks and what went along with them. You just have to let that take care of itself.
Would you spell out once again precisely the type of confrontation you're looking for in Hampshire?
Well, the kind of confrontation I want is one in which I think that the differences between the policy position I have on the war and issues related to it and those which are represented by the president would be presented to the people without the interjection of local politics or of local candidates, insofar as it's possible to eliminate that kind of intervention or confusion.
Senator, do you think you would find that kind of confrontation here in the nation's capital, in the District of Columbia? Would you permit a slate to run in your behalf here?
Well, I think we could, if I thought it could be shaped up that way. I haven't seen much indication yet that the issues could be drawn that way here in the district. And we do have to give some attention to the number of primaries that I'll have time for. If we have to campaign hard in 4 or 5, that pretty much should take care of the next 4 or 5 months. You may recall that, as a matter of fact, when John Kennedy ran in primaries, he campaigned really vigorously in about 3 states, that the others were more or less taken care of by other considerations.
Senator, do you think you're going to get a confrontation in Massachusetts or other states? chance you might take it by default.
Oh, I doubt very much whether I'll get it by default. I don't know what kind of opposition, what form the opposition will take in Massachusetts, but I have no reason to believe that we might have it by default.
Senator, are you going to Florida on the 26th, and is there any chance you'll enter the primary there?
I don't think there's much chance. I really haven't given any thought to entering the Florida primary.
What about the trip? Are you going down there later in the month?
Well, I've got a speech, I think. It's somewhat tentative, but that's more or less incidental to the overall campaign.
Senator,
yes.
Do you think that this report that Red China said that they will view our going into Cambodia with a great deal of interest to be watching, do you think that means that you may be getting into a great planned war here with China?
Well, I wouldn't say that would come very soon, but Cambodia and Sihanouk are both very uncertain, and the possibility of some Chinese involvement there, I think, has to be acknowledged.
Senator,
yeah.
Are you doing anything to try to obtain the support of some of the prominent doves, or say that you are not a serious candidate?
Well, I'm not really trying to persuade them by word. I just assume that as the time comes for the primary campaigns, and as the primaries approach, they'll have to judge by actions as to whether we're serious or not. And my feeling is that they're saying it now is more by way of an excuse for they're not committing themselves. It's pretty hard to campaign before the whistle blows, and it's a long time before even the first primary. So I think that some of them may change as the campaign goes along, but if not, I think the seriousness of my own effort will become evident.
Okay. Have you gotten any assurances of support from other doves in Congress?
Well, I don't think, other than the California congressman who indicated support, I don't think there are any others. But I didn't anticipate much support from members of Congress who were running, nor have I been seeking it. I don't think it's very important as to whether I'm endorsed by other congressmen or not.
Is your decision to enter New Hampshire partly to convince some people that you are a serious candidate?
No, that's not a consideration. That might be an incidental benefit that would come from it, but it was not a significant I'd say it was not really a consideration.
Senator, are you concerned about the presence of Kennedy supporters in the New Hampshire picture? Are you going to do anything to try to get them out?
Well, I'm not going to do anything. It's pretty much a New Hampshire problem, and they seem to be working it out reasonably well. Well, if it's as hawkish as it's reported to be, yes, I think so, and I would expect that whatever showing we make will reflect that reality, if it is a reality.
What would you consider a good percentage, or what would you consider a success based on...
Oh, I don't really want to make a projection of that kind. The question of where we start, and I don't know just where we're starting. And in any case, as I said when I first announced, we were not going into this on the basis of having taken any polls or trying to project it in terms of a victory, but rather because I thought this issue or complex of issues had to be and should be presented to the people of the country within the context of Democratic Party politics, which is what I'm trying to do.
Senator, aren't you concerned that Bob Kennedy on the ticket up there, this will dilute the anti-Vietnam War votes?
Well, of course, you'd have two votes then, and I suppose so far as the anti-Vietnam position is concerned, you could put the two together and have a reading.
Senator, aren't you at all concerned that a very small support, a very small vote in these primaries could hurt your cause?
Well, it's possible that it could, but as I said again, it was a matter of taking it to the people, and if this is their response, this is what we'll discover.
Senator, how do you feel about some of these attacks on you, members of the administration, the president, the Senate, when they say that you're frustrated, or you're fuzzy, or you don't know what you're doing?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The administration really hasn't been too hard on me up to now. I think some of the columnists have treated me a little more roughly than the administration up there. So we'll have to wait and see. Sometimes it's helpful to be, I think, to have the case overstated against you if I get out and people find that I don't appear to be frustrated or abnormal or particularly my terrible ambition is not showing in my eyes. I might develop a kind of reaction of sympathy, which would be helpful to me.
You have a heavy speaking schedule for January. Are you not going up to New Hampshire until February?
Oh, I may go into New Hampshire for a day or two, but I expect that February will be the the month of principal emphasis in New Hampshire.
Senator, how do you answer the criticism that your campaign has been so lackluster that you're a stalking horse for Lyndon Johnson?
Well, I don't know whether I have to answer that. I mean, I don't really know what some people expected of me. I really couldn't go down and tear down the fence around the White House and storm the building at this stage that we've been working on organization and
what about your financing? Are the contributions coming in pretty?
Well, we're not very well financed yet, but that's one of the things we've been working on. And as I've said before, I think we'll have adequate financing to at least to get the case to the people.
What is your financial goal, and how are you doing toward that?
Well, we're working it out state by state, and we don't really have budgets in from all the states, not from California, not from Massachusetts. Well, that's not true.
Senator, have you sought the advice of Joseph Brown, vice chairman of ADA, on whether or not we should enter a Washington primary?
I haven't talked to Joe about a Washington primary. I haven't talked to him for several weeks. He's been out of town. I expect him to be somewhat active in my campaign, but I haven't talked to him about it, no.
It's known that you have a certain amount of support here in the district. Wouldn't a primary success in Washington prove a real feather in your cap?
Well, I don't really know. I don't want to go into that kind of it wouldn't hurt.
Senator, is it still your view, as you said last week, that New Hampshire is not a particularly significant test?
Well, I don't know whether I quite said that. I said it wasn't a principal test and that I thought there were other things. If you're going into Massachusetts, for example, that a test in Massachusetts would be more significant in terms of the numbers involved and the size of the state. That's pretty much what I said.
Do you still feel that way, Senator?
Well, feel what way?
Massachusetts.
Well, I think that Massachusetts, I don't say that New Hampshire is unimportant. New Hampshire or Nebraska is not unimportant, but there are some states in which the test is less significant than in others.
And New Hampshire is one of these that is less significant?
Well, I said less significant than Massachusetts, for example, yes. I think most everyone here agrees with that. I mean, that's not a revelation. I mean,
Senator, how do you feel about the action that the President is taking to deal with the balance of payments?
Well, I'm encouraged that they're taking some action. I think we passed out a December 18th press release that I put out, which I think makes the point of difference. The position the administration is taking is largely defensive. They've been overly defensive about the dollar, I think, for the last 2 or 3 years. Their position has been pretty much like, I mean, their offense on it has been pretty much just punting on first down. That seemed to be their defense of the dollar. This latest recommendation, I think, will not accomplish what they indicate that it would, at least what they hope it will accomplish, assuming they get everything they ask for from the Congress.
What is your feeling about the
Let me say one more thing. I think that what's missing in it is the absence of any recommendation with reference to the gold problem. And if we accept that, as Westmoreland said, that they expect to have the war under such control in Vietnam within 2 years, assuming it goes on as they have it planned, that they'll begin to cut down on expenditures, and if the estimates are right that about $2 billion in the balance of payments deficit can be attributed to the war in Vietnam, then it seems to me that we ought to take some chances on losing $3 or $4 or $5 billion in gold, which is really not useful to us. If that's the price of continuing investment overseas, because unless we have American investment in foreign countries, we have no way of getting income from those countries by which we can at least get some contribution from them to the financing of the worldwide responsibilities that we're carrying out. So I think that in addition to the recommendations the administration has made, which I think will have limited good, that they should have clearly indicated a willingness to part with $5 or $6 billion in gold if that were necessary over the next 2 years, rather than to cut down significant foreign investment overseas.
Well, this would mean removal of
the gold. That's right.
So do you think devaluation of the dollar is inevitable?
Well, I don't think it's inevitable, no. As a matter of fact, if the deficit that's balance of payments deficit growing out of the war were to be eliminated, the dollar would probably then begin to become so strong that the Europeans would be disturbed over its power. We'd have a problem similar to what we had back in the years immediately following World War II. Not as serious, but a similar problem.
appeal to Americans to postpone travel abroad have any effect on your decision to make an overture?
Well, I don't think that my plans would involve the balance of payments very much. I think that if I felt I needed to make the trip, that I could do that without regard to the effect on the balance of payments.
How do you feel about the proposal for possible tourist restrictions?
Well, I don't think they're very workable. I think some limited restrictions could be helpful. The problem is that first of all, I don't think it'll have much effect. Secondly, to the extent that it does, it'll probably discourage travel by those who should travel, namely students and some of the academic people. The possibility is that because it raises the cost, that this is not going to be a great force in the economy, that it will not have any effect or significant effect on the balance of payments, but it will force people to raise money on credit in order to pay for their travel. And taken all together, I don't think it will have much significance, and my judgment is it would probably have been better to have stayed away from the travel limitations altogether.
Senator, you said that you don't intend to make an issue out of the 1964 campaign statements of Lyndon Johnson and our policies now. Since this is a chief argument of the Dubs, can you explain further why?
Well, I said I didn't intend to make an issue out of specific statements that were made. In other words, to take a line out of one speech, but rather to raise the question in terms of the general context of the campaign of 1964. And I think there is a case to be made on the basis of that, but not to pick up a line or a phrase out of a speech which may have said something about Asian boys fighting Asian wars and say here was the position which had been betrayed, because if you take the statements, more or less all of the statements made by the President, the Vice President and others, it's a little more complicated than that.
Well, then what issue do you see between...
Well, I think this is an issue that what we're doing in Vietnam is not really a projection of what we expected from the administration in 1964. But what I said was I wasn't going to hang my case on one or two sentences out of one speech or out of two speeches. Really what we're pursuing is a kind of Republican foreign policy. This is the area of the world and the kind of commitment which Dulles was recommending and which the critics of Harry Truman were recommending all during the 40s and during the 50s. And that it's in this somewhat broader context that I hope to raise the question of the point of criticism against the policy.
Senator, if you get soundly defeated in New Hampshire, would you stop reevaluating your decision?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what soundly defeated would mean. I mean, it could be that 25% is looks like victory there, 30%, 40%. Since this is not a contest for delegates in the ordinary sense of a contest for delegates, but rather an attempt to raise an issue and to get a judgment of the people, that I intend to go on, no matter what happens in New Hampshire, through the other primaries to which I've publicly committed myself.
Senator, why do you set yourself this nice underdog position of starting out with 25%?
I didn't set it. I didn't set it. I think Senator McIntyre set it at 15%. I'm an optimist compared to him. Well, we're going to try to make the case and see what happens. I don't know what you mean by try to win. I mean, we're not going to buy any votes. Well, we're not going to. We're going to try to get as many votes as we can on the basis of presenting the issues. I hope that means victory.
If you raise 30% would be a victory.
I don't say that 30% would be a victory. I just tell you that Senator McIntyre, I think, said 15%, and some of the people who are supporting me have said 30%, and. Some of them are even more optimistic than that. But I haven't set any percentage as a mark of victory in New Hampshire.
Senator, are you raising an issue or out to win?
Well, you do both, but you raise the issue and hope you can win on it. But I'm not out to win by any means, if that's what you mean.
Senator, can you define briefly the difference between your policy on Vietnam and the administration policy?
Well, I don't know whether I can do it briefly. I expect this will take most of the campaign. But I've been trying to lay it out, really been trying to lay it out since January of 1966, which in general was against escalation, for bombing cessations when it appeared that there was a chance to negotiate, and I think we've had at least two or three chances for negotiations which were passed over. And then beyond that, if the stopping of bombing, as I've said, at this time would not result in negotiations. And I've said we ought to negotiate with the National Liberation Front and recognize it, proceed to do that, which is different from the administration's position.
Are you satisfied with the policy?
One more point. Assuming that these negotiations don't work out, that the Vietnamese government, let us say, refuses to negotiate, we then ought to, I think, announce some kind of phased withdrawals in South Vietnam to a point where the South Vietnamese government would be moved to some kind of negotiation.
When you say these negotiations, are you talking
about... Well, I'm talking about the ones that are being talked about now.
But specifically, you said you're against escalation. Are you now for de-escalation?
Well, I said I've been against... I'm against additional escalation, and I'm for an attempt to negotiate now. And failing in that, I'm for... limited withdrawals in South Vietnam while we continue to seek some kind of negotiated settlement.
Would you favor some unilateral de-escalation?
Yes, I think that, well, I would not say at this point. I'd just like to stand that if the prospects of negotiation under present circumstances are as real as I think they are, I would just stand with that position.
Senator, you're limiting the bombing, then they'll make
out. Well, I favor stopping the bombing now while we try to negotiate. Failing in that, I think then you'd develop some new policies which might include limited bombing and other moves that might result in negotiations.
Senator, when you speak of a phased out withdrawal, we have approximately 500,000 troops in there.
Yeah.
Now, how would you phase it out?
Well, you want the plan, you want the map?
Well, I'd like to know.
Well, I mean, you don't really expect that.
Are you thinking of
I'm not saying so many a year, no. I think there are areas very clearly identifiable. I've talked to military people that in which we're now carrying on search and destroy missions which we ought not to include. But these we could withdraw from and attempt to bring about some kind of pacification. But this is the kind of specific thing that one carries out within the context of a purpose, not with a map on the wall during a campaign. You may recall General Eisenhower, when he went to Korea, didn't tell you what troops he was going to move and when and how soon he was going to bring them out.
In responding to an earlier question, you said if the prospects for negotiations now are as real as you think they are, did you indicate this is some kind of watershed period? That there's a
well, I think that not just what's in the paper, but what I've heard, what I believe to be true, that there are possibilities for negotiation now. As to just what can be negotiated is another question, but an openness to some kind of negotiation, I think, is a reality.
Thank you, sir.
Right, thanks very much.